This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hello, you're listening to Animal Party on Pet Life Radio with me, Deb Wolf. And we have a big show today, and I do have some cat content for you. I just came up with that before I came on the show. So, cat behavioral training tip coming your way today. What? Cats are trainable? Yeah, of course they are. Of course they are. They're just as smart, and they're easily trained. And they learn what works for them, just like dogs do. So we'll talk about that later in the show. Plus, we're going to talk about what I learned last weekend from a fisherman who's in his mid-70s, and he's been on the water his entire life all over the world. So I'm going to tell you about some things that I did not know, as much as I try to know as much as I can about these places and these things and the creatures that I might encounter on this earth. I learned a few things last weekend. Oh, and from my host, I learned something so great. Okay, so for all these years, I've been traveling back and forth and doing different things on the water, and I thought I knew how to spot whales. And I have seen whales many, many times. But the whole time, there was something I was seeing in the far distance that were whales, was the sign of a whale, that I never knew was the sign of a whale. So if you have extremely good long-distance vision like I do, or good binoculars, good telescope, etc., and you like to look for whales, well, you better listen, because I'm going to tell you what I learned from Peter Knott last weekend. And it made a world of difference. I saw humpbacks. I saw orcas. I saw these little dolphin things that I thought were orcas, but were probably dolphins. Whole new world, people. Yes. Okay, so I'm going to tell you what I learned. And also, because it takes a ferry to get where I was going, one of those big giant boats you drive on, very common in the Pacific Northwest. All over Seattle and areas like that, you get on a boat with your car and you get ferried over to the next town on across the water, and off you go driving again. And there's all this protocol for the ferry. There's cafeteria, usually a snack bar sometimes. There are outer decks and inner decks and rules about all of it. You know, can't set your car alarm or it might go off with the motion, drive everyone crazy, like special ferry rules. And one of the ferry rules lately, it used to be dogs had to stay in your car. But now, in the last, I don't know how long, very recent, they have dog areas. They have little stickers on all the stairs with the paws so you know which stairs you're supposed to take. And there's a section of the outdoor deck, uncovered and covered, that's for the dogs. On the boat I was on, the last one, it was at the stern. I don't know if that's always true, but it's adorable. It's fantastic. So what do you do when your ferry's delayed by 45 minutes and it finally gets going an hour late? And then while you're out on the water waiting to get home, your ferry diverts to deal with the rescue. What do? You meet the dogs on the ferry. So if you want to see the dogs I met on the ferry, and of course, I'm going to tell you in the show, there was a worse dog on the ferry. There were some good dogs on the ferry, and there was definitely a worst owner. So just like at the beach, I'm giving out awards today, and you can see these dogs, good and bad, videos I posted at Deb Wolf Pet Expert on Facebook, just because it's fun. All right, everybody, stay tuned. We're going to a break, and we'll be back to talk about the ocean on Animal Party Pet Life Radio.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello, you're listening to Animal Party on Pet Life Radio. And, well, why were the dogs, what was good about the good dogs on the ferry? The good dogs were not panting like crazy, so had obviously been given water. So good owners, good dogs, were on short leashes, not flexi. So they knew their limits at all times. It was set 3 foot, 1 meter, 1 yard, maybe I'll try to pull. Maybe I'll see if I can tangle people. Maybe I've got more room. You know, none of that. Clear guideline. And they were mostly kept in the shade because it was a hot, hot day. So there were a couple that were sitting in the sun with their dog having a choice, and the dog was choosing sun, which is fine, as long as they have a shade choice. So those are the good owners, good dogs on the ferry, quiet. I saw them approaching each other. They would talk at a distance. Is your dog friendly? Yes, it is. Little chat, and then waggy tails, and then slowly the dogs kind of stretch to greet, and more waggy tails, and then the owners knowing it's a little bit of a stressful situation, a moving boat and crowds and people. Knowing that, they don't linger. It's not dog park. It's not cuddle wrestle time. It's greet and go. And they were keeping safe distances, a few feet away from each other. I can show you all that. So those were the good dogs. How about the bad dogs? Well, there were two Cocker Spaniels, both on a leash, and one with the super friendly people. I think American tourists by their accent, super friendly, asking me all kinds of questions. So clearly not locals. Where do we go? Are we allowed to have our dog? You know, this kind of thing. Now, I do have to admit, I often wear my company logo clothes. So I believe I was wearing one of my Camp Good Dog hoodies that has paws and bones on it. I might have even been wearing a Camp Good Dog t-shirt. So fair enough that they asked me. But I did not have a dog with me, and yet I got asked this question. So I helped them find their way, and their cocker met another cocker, and the other cocker erupted in barking. Other cocker on a flexi leash. Owner quickly tries to shorten it and lock it. I don't know if it's working. Eventually, they sometimes stop working on the lock part, and they can tangle you so easily. Really don't like them for this type of situation. When do I like a flexi leash? Well, if you have one dog who's really peppy and young and happy-go-lucky, and the other one's really old and lame, and you want to walk him around the block, and you want the old lame one to kind of saunter along and pee where he wants and not be troubled, that's the dog on the flexi. Or if you're forced to be in a situation where you have no off-leash areas at all and you can't have off-leash time where you would normally let your dog go off-leash, then you might use a flexi. When there's no other people or dogs to tangle up. That's another example. But like say, for example, you're walking around some natural feature and you're not allowed to have your dog off leash because of ducks or nesting animals or whatever. There's nobody around and your dog isn't a duck chaser, but you don't want to break the rules or maybe have him accidentally step on a nest, you know. So you put them on a flexi. That's the way to go there. Okay, so back to the best dog, worst dog. But we're not even close to the worst dog yet. So that was bad cocker, good cocker. Same kind of dog, cocker spaniel. Roughly the same age, actually. The one that was good was a little bit younger than the one that was bad, but they were both middle-aged, and there was no reason for this. And the people dealing with the bad one were very unfriendly and standoffish, which could be because of the dog, or it could be why the dog's like that in the first place. Dogs pick up our vibes. If you're the happy-go-lucky American guy, walking on the boat, making nice with everybody, talking and chatting and saying, "Where's the dog? Hey, how you doing? My dog loves dogs. Where's the dog area? This is great," he said to me. you know, if you're that guy, your dog picks up on that energy. And if you're the person that's like, oh my God, I hope they don't bug us, your dog picks up on that energy, right? And so sometimes when I've been training dogs, all I have to do is hold the leash. In fact, I can't get the dog to misbehave sometimes if I'm holding the leash. I have to hand it back to the owner, because with me, I'm chill about oncoming dogs or the nearby traffic or the overhanging branches or whatever it is this dog is supposed to be freaked out about, the train coming by. So the dog picks up on that through the leash, and he's just mellow because I'm mellow. He's like, oh, well, she's relaxed. I guess I will be too. And then I hand the leash back to the owner, who's going, I hope he doesn't freak out at that dog coming. Oh my gosh. I hope he's not scared of the car. And all that, the dog just starts, I'm scared. I'm scared. It's really amazing what travels through that leash and through the proximity. And because they care for you and they love you and they're reading you all the time. So there's a lot going on there. We are going to talk about cats, people. We are going to talk about how cats read you later in the show, and I'm just circling it on my notes so I don't forget, so don't worry. But we have way more to talk about today first. So there were some sheep on the loose. Yeah, okay. The RCMP called this lady and they say, ma'am, we think we found your sheep. and it turns out about 30 of them, 33, were running and loose for 6 days. So they got 15 kilometers away from where they were supposed to be. And this was in Saskatchewan. And so she gets the call, the lady owns them, and she loads up her trusty border collie, who's really quite small, dog named Betty. And Betty gets in the car and they get to where the police have last seen the sheep. But there's no sight of the sheep, like there's nothing. So Betty, go get the sheep. And of course, Betty takes off and it's gone quite a while. I'm sure the sheep, the lady said, this is like watching her interview. The lady said, I'm sure the sheep was, they were so happy to see Betty. Betty, what are you doing here? Anyway, so Betty rounded them all up and they seemed delighted to go with Betty. And, but until they saw the trailer. So Betty had her work cut out for her because the lady said she thinks they enjoyed their freedom. And it was a storm that knocked down the fence. And she's a little concerned that this might happen again, because once they do it once, they may do it again. Now, when asked why the sheep would run, she answered, if you know sheep, when one runs, they all run. So not necessarily in the same direction exactly, though. It's not like a dog team pulling you. No. It's more like a scrum traveling together, yeah, easily trampling you. Okay, so worst dog on that ferry was not a big dog. Because when big dogs behave atrociously, they don't get to go on ferries and they don't get taken to the dog area. People are, they leave them in the car or the truck, like, you know, in the shade and all that, but not in the friendly area. But when people have wee little dogs and medium dogs and 20-pound dogs, they think, oh, isn't it cute that this dog is a nasty danger to all humans it doesn't know and other dogs. And there was one of those there, little palm cross of some kind with a dog that you could carry places, but it would get heavy quickly. Yeah, not as heavy as a beagle and not as small as a Yorkie, somewhere in the middle of that. And pointy ears and cute as a button, orange fur. Oh, so cute. The kind of dog any kid would want to reach out and touch. Yeah, don't touch that dog. So scrumming every single time, freaking out. You could hear it anywhere on the boat. Every time a new person came out of the stairwell, every time a dog walked by, you know, this little nasty dog, they're making these nasty sounds and pulling on the leash and trying to attack. And the owner, thinking it's funny, laughing, telling them, don't worry, I'm holding him, don't worry, and pulling him back and picking him up and sitting on a bench, putting him on her lap. I didn't hear her say no once, or be nice, or walk the dog away from the thing it was freaking out at until it got polite. All the things I would do. So worst owner ever, that's that person. And had that dog broken free of its collar, or actually it only had a harness, great, give it chest power, right on. Anyway, if it had broken free, it would have bit somebody or somebody's dog. And maybe if it had gotten into the dog area and it had attacked the wrong dog, unfortunately, like, I didn't see any police-type dogs there. The dogs have their own community, right? If there had been a shepherd cross or even a healer and that dog came in looking for trouble, it would be stopped if that dog could reach it. But in this case, they were all sweetie pies. They were all little spaniels and Frenchies and labs, and they're not doing that. No, they're not doing that. Okay, I haven't given you the riddle of the day yet, and we're going to go to break, so I'm going to start. Now, this is a question. What kind of dog, I met him on the weekend, what kind of dog do you think this was? Now, the first hint is, when he sees a bear, he growls really quietly and makes a noise for his owner to recognize. What kind of dog is this? Second clue is, when he sees a deer, he doesn't say anything, but he changes the way he walks and stands so his owner knows where the deer is. And if his owner catches sight of him, his owner makes a fist. And then the dog is silent, motionless. All right, I'm going to give you more clues after the break. Just checking on those. And we're going to talk about cats. And we're going to talk about what I learned from Dave the Fisherman. Well, first, let me tell you, David the Fisherman, been on the water all kinds of places. And I asked him, because it was really stormy seas and we weren't catching anything and we were hanging out in his beautiful big boat on the ocean, Pacific Ocean. And the other people on the boat were mostly just frustrated that we weren't catching anything. So I asked him what he thought about the fact that lately in our waters, there's been sightings of so many animals that aren't supposed to be there, like California dolphins, and just things that we've seen before, but never in these numbers or not usually. And they seem to be thriving and regularly visiting. And, you know, I asked him, is it because of El Nino or is it the warm waters or is it pollution or what is it? And is it going to stop? You know, is it because our waters are less trafficked and less dirty? Are they just going to move here? You know, and so he told me that in the 70s, before the 70s, there were no sea lions out here, which totally surprised me. I mean, I saw two last weekend on one of those markers just floating around, and it was such a bad seas. They kept slipping off and trying to get back again, and big, big sea lions, right? So, yeah, they're here, lots of them. But in the 70s, they weren't. And he said they started gradually moving up from California, and people thought they wouldn't stay. People thought the water was too cold for them. They'll never stay. Yeah, they did. Lots of them live here now and never leave. So the salmon is good here, and the water is clean, and there's not too much boat traffic compared to other places in the world. So they seem to have relocated. So will the dolphins do it? We don't know. He said the main thing is the food. They will always follow the food. So if the food is here, this is where they'll be. But what they eat likes warm waters. They do like salmon, though. So I'm not sure. We'll have to see if the dolphins stay. But I think some of the migration and changes that we think of as gloom and doom are just part of the nature of things. You get birds you didn't used to, or you don't see birds you did used to, and things change and fluctuate back again. And we should get a handle on global warming for sure. We should get our waters to cool. But in the meantime, with these species showing up and visiting, it's very interesting to track the changes. Okay, so one more clue about this. What kind of dog is it? One more clue is this dog can find mushrooms. So this dog signals and growls for bear, is silent and signals for deer, and can find mushrooms. And I'm going to tell you more clues in a minute. But what kind of dog do you think it is, this dog? Yeah, that's the riddle of the day. We're going to break. And when we come back, I'm going to give you the cat behavioral tip and also what I learned about spotting whales that I never knew till now. Stay tuned on Animal Party Pet Life Radio.
Talk to the Paw.
Hi, this is Amy Stewart.
Hi, I'm Jane Lynch.
This is Mandy Bourne.
Hi there, I'm Kate Walsh.
This is Catherine Tygo.
There's only one station that gives you the scoop on wagging tongues and tails and who's walking who in Rent and Tinseltown. Pet Life Radio, the tail wagger.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets
on Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
Pet
PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello, we're back at Animal Party on Pet Life Radio. So, sometimes I lock my cats out of the studio because they have a habit of getting on the control board and messing with the microphone and doing exactly the things that would bother me most. In the old days, I used to have an inbox and an outbox, and I used to notice how my cats were always sitting on the inbox, never on the outbox. And that's really how it is, right? They figure out what's going to get mom's attention. So for years, it's natural for me, but also I've kind of realized that when I'm on the radio, if a cat goes to the tippy top of the back of my chair, and I'm not the tallest person and the chair's pretty tall, so basically sitting above my head on the tippy top of my very large office chair, it's a cushioned, lovely chair covered with a soft cover that the cats love. Anyway, if one of these cats is up there, I will gently pet it during the show. And so they've learned that if they're in here during radio time, their best bet is to do that. If instead they start messing with my papers or walking on my desk, I will take the first commercial break and get rid of them. So I just put them out of the studio and close the door. I mean, you know. And so they've learned consistently, I always do this. If they mess with my stuff, they're out. If they go on the back of my chair, they get affection and cuddles. And sometimes I'll even have two of them back there. So you can train your cats. Just make sure you're not rewarding the things you don't like. Make sure you stop and make that thing boring. And then make the thing that you like, get them what they like. Whether it's treats or usually with cats, it's interaction. Cats are starved for our attention. So if they're mischievous, they just want more of your attention. Play with them instead. But don't let the mischief be the trigger for the play. You decide. You trigger the play by picking up a cat toy or calling them and telling them. It's your decision, not them knocking your drink flying. I've had cats like that. I know. All right. So back to the show about marine life. What did I learn from Peter Knott about spotting whales, which is really interesting to me. So we all know if you see the spout, you know, close up, it's a whale. And sometimes you get to see the tail or a fin or part of the side of the head or the black and white markings if it's an orca. And there's gray whales there and humpbacks. And each whale has a different size and length of spout and power of spout, and speed it can travel, and speed it can dive, and how long it stays under, and all these things. When you know them, like the fishermen do, the men of the water, then you can figure out which whale you're looking at, even as before you've seen a good look at it. But just seeing them in general from a distance, what I didn't know is when you see on the horizon, especially early morning or evening when the light is right for this, because when it's high in the sky, it's hard to see. But early in the morning and late in the evening on a clear day, way, way in the distance, if you see something that looks like a sailboat, it just appears as a flash. All of a sudden, this white sailboat, white sail, and then the sail just disintegrates before your eyes. It's gone. It just folds into nothing. That's what their spray looks like from a distance. If you catch it at the wrong angle, you'll just see the edge of it and you won't see anything. But if you catch it on the flank, you'll see almost like a triangle. It'll look like there's a sailboat, there's a sail, now there's not. There's a sail, now there's not. And when we were looking at this, there were three of them. So it's really easy to tell. It was like one, two, three, over and over again, right? There's a sail, no. There's a sail, no. There's a sail, no. And then couple minutes would go by and it would repeat and it would repeat. And you could see where they were moving down the shoreline, feeding. And it was just amazing. And it made me realize how often I've seen whales when I didn't know it. So you can pay to have a whale watching tour anywhere on Vancouver Island and lots of places in the world like Mexico. But now that I know this, I saw so many whales on the way back on BC ferries just from being on the big ferry. because you could see them. You could see them. They're out there. It's so amazing. I also saw them close up when we were fishing, and it was an amazing experience. So if you want to spot a whale, that's how you do it. If you want to train a cat, give them attention when they do the right thing. Okay, so this dog I've been teasing you all with, I'll give you two more hints. Sometimes he sleeps on the bed. Not always, but sometimes. So he's growling at bear, but still. He's quiet for deer, and still. He can find mushrooms, and he sleeps on the bed sometimes. And sometimes he's mistaken by tourists for a bear. What kind of dog do you think that is? Ooh, it's a tricky one. Well, he's actually a dog I've talked about before on the show. And if you want to learn more about this dog that I just described and how to teach your dog to forage for mushrooms like he does, I did a show on that, how to teach your dog to find stuff, and in particular, how to teach your dogs to forage for mushrooms. And when I did that show, it was a year ago, I had just met this dog for the first time ever. Well, I probably had met him a few times earlier, but the first time ever I walked him and, you know, spent time with him in his home turf. And without without commanding him or directing him at all, he began to forage for me. So he taught me a lot in that one walk. And when I came home, I started working on my own dogs to forage, and I became very good at it. Or I should say they became very good at it, more accurately. So I can do more shows on foraging, but if you want to hear the first show when I describe the beginning training of how to get your dog to forage and how to get your dog to find stuff, and I've done shows, and on my Dub Wolf Pet Expert YouTube, I've demonstrated how to teach your dog to find your child by name, which is so important and so good. And it's basically a hide-and-go-seek game until you really need it. And then you find your kid when they're lost anywhere with a leash and the command. Your dog goes and finds your kid. You go to the last spot they were located and boom, follows the scent and saves the day. So I've taught that before, and I've taught find your car, because I used to hike and get lost. I still do. And I tell my dogs, find the car, and they always do. So they always know where the car is. They just don't know you're looking for it. But this is more elaborate. This is using their nose, not their memory and their spatial mapping ability and their homing instinct, but just their nose to find something they've never found somewhere. And how to teach them first to find the thing, and not just the one spot you found it in first, but to find that thing wherever it might be when asked, and how to signal it. So all that is in episode 238. Because that's the first time I met Rocky Dog. And Rocky Dog, the dog I've been teasing you with, that can find mushrooms and does the right thing for deer and bear and sleeps on the bed and is mistaken for a bear. What is Rocky? Rocky is a black lab. So you don't need a specialized dog for this. You just need a good dog that's well-trained and wants to please you. And that's Rocky. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening today. From me, Deb Wolf, and Animal Party and Pet Life Radio, ciao, meow. Be good to your animals.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.